Oil prices spike after U.S. airstrikes in Iran. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. The price of oil has increased sharply following what was essentially the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Both Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate are up around 4%. It's a reaction to concerns that oil supplies from the Middle East could be severely disrupted if the conflict were to escalate. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more.
Several of the world's biggest oil producers are in the area that could be affected if there are a wider military confrontation involving Iran. As much as a fifth of global supplies pass through the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow passage which provides access to the Gulf. Iran is on its northern shore, and it has poor relations with the region's biggest oil producer, Saudi Arabia. Disruption to the strait would affect global supplies, and the mere possibility that it might happen was enough to send prices rising.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down more than 0.5%. The German DAX is down even more at more than 1.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also down in the 1.3 to 1.5 range. The Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia predicts that the economies in 9 U.S. states will shrink in the first half of the year. Marketplace's Mariel Segura has been following this and joins me live. Mariel, which 9 states are we worried about?
A bunch of states on the East Coast, actually. So Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and then also West Virginia, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Montana.
Okay, so how did researchers come to this conclusion?
They look at a lot of data on the housing market, on unemployment, on interest rates, and manufacturing. And they try to make predictions. And as you said, the report came out of the Philadelphia Fed, which is an arm of the Federal Reserve System. When we talk about the Fed, we often talk about Chair Jay Powell or the Board of Governors in D.C. But remember, the Fed is made up of 12 regional banks that, among other things, collect data and make these kinds of projections.
In this number 9 states, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it is. The Fed does this particular projection monthly, and this is the most states it has put in the shrinking economy column since the financial crisis.
Marketplace's Mariel Segura, thanks.
Thank you.
Labor unions have faced tough times during the Trump administration. Heading into 2020, the Labor Department is expected to continue rolling back Obama-era rules and policies that made union organizing a little bit easier. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Labor unions finished 2019 with some momentum. The UAW held tough in a strike against GM, and the AFL-CIO won better labor protections in the new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico. But going forward, the Labor Department's making it harder for unions to organize, collect dues, and fight anti-union campaigns. Ben Zipperer at the Economic Policy Institute says there could be new limits on who can even be in a union.
The Trump administration has proposed that graduate student workers shouldn't be counted as employees with protected bargaining rights.
The pendulum is swinging back toward employers, says Shannon Farmer at law firm Ballard Spahr.
It's going to make it harder for unions to get very quick elections and catch employers unprepared, which a lot of employers felt happened under the existing rules.
Last year, union membership fell to 10.5% of the U.S. workforce, half what it was in the early 1980s. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hello to 2020 and to all the new Marketplace investors who joined us before the end of the decade. Thank you for being part of this community of donors who believe in the importance of trustworthy, independent news and information. It's your ongoing support that keeps us going strong and helps make people smarter everywhere. Thanks again, and Happy New Year.
Sometime this year, if you believe tech firms' optimistic deadlines, some big-name companies are going to start test flights of air taxis. Think one of those annoying buzzy drones, but big enough to carry people over the traffic below. But Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports that a lot will need to happen to make what's being called a new era of flight real, safe, and affordable.
If I have to drive from my house to nearby Dodger Stadium on a game night, my heart sinks. It's even worse than normal LA traffic. There has to be a better way.
Oh, yeah. As you can see in the app, it lists common travel times on road and also what flight times would be. So it helps you imagine a future of how you would fly.
Kyle Owens is with Otis Elevators. That's just one of the many companies looking at the opportunity in air taxis. In its case, getting people to the top of nearby tall buildings to catch a shared ride. And it's built an app to do it. It says the stadium is 3 minutes by air. Let's go.
So we've selected Dodger Stadium. Now the app will guide us from where we are currently standing over to the elevator bank, and then it'll bring us up to where the helipad would be.
I want to see this. Let's do it.
Sure.
Going up.
And there are seat belts right underneath you. We're going to need those for the flight.
Now, air taxis don't actually exist yet, although companies like Bell Helicopter, Airbus, and Boeing are all working on them. So, I'm going old school. With a helicopter. Jonathan Hartman is the disruptive technologies lead at Sikorsky. That's one of the major helicopter manufacturers and is working on this next generation of air transportation.
And what we're looking for into the future is how that third dimension of mobility can help access society as congestion continues to grow on the ground.
This trip over the LA traffic is fast, and the views are great. But helicopters are big, loud, expensive to run, and restricted as to where they can fly and land. So they're never going to be a solution for everyone. Once we were back on the ground, Hartman told me that the next generation of drone-like air transport machines, call them flying cars if you want, will be electric, quieter, and cheaper to run.
I think we can start talking about solutions that are comparable to ground transportation prices. I think we can start talking about solutions that are accessible to everyone.
Experts say it's crucial to introduce any new technology like this to cities in a fair way. Harrison Wolf from the World Economic Forum joined me on my flight. He focuses on aerospace and drones.
We want to think through where infrastructure gets placed, how to support these mechanisms so that those communities that have been left behind aren't in the future.
Uber wants to be the platform for shared air transit, and it's promising commercial service in Dallas and here in LA by 2023. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. Our fellow is Erica Soderstrom. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.